This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
Hello, my name is Tom Brady and welcome to the series Living with the Border. The border cut off natural hinterlands, separated communities and neighbours that had lived together for years. While the hardships people suffered as a result of the border have been well documented, these programmes intend to look at the funnier side of living along the border. My guest today is Joe Quinn from Bardenstown Hackbuzz Cross. A former businessman in the Hackbuzz Cross area, he has many funny stories to tell about border living. Bardenstown is a rural area, a distance of 11 kilometres from Dundalk on the Dundalk-Castlebrainy Road, the N54. It is a short distance from Fork Hill, Cross Midlane and Cullerville, the concession road. Hackbuzz Cross derives its name from a man called Paddy Hackball, who was an innkeeper in the area in the 1800s. During the period of the Troubles, there was a heavy security presence on both sides of the border. There was a British Army lookout post at Drumock Wall, Cross Midlane, looking down on the border. Over the years, some of the minor roads were created by the British Army. This made it difficult for locals crossing the border, especially farmers who might have land on both sides of the border. This led to tensions at times on the border, and many of the craters were filled in during the darkness of the night by locals. As a matter of fact, one of the first incidents during the Troubles took place at Dungooly in Hackbuzz Cross, when a group of subversives took on the British Army from Fork Hill, and a battle ensued which lasted for over 3 hours. And it was only after the intervention from the army from Aiken's Barracks in Dundalk and the Gardaí that the matter was brought under control. Culprits appeared at Dundalk District Court, but the case was eventually dismissed. There was a heavy Garda presence. There was up to 30 guards at one stage station in Hackbuzz Cross. There was 24-hour checkpoints at the height of the Troubles. And one of the checkpoints was outside of Joe Quinn's shop and dwelling house.
I went out to an uncle of mine. He was living in Manhattan, and he was originally from Kilmucknon in County Offaly. He was a farmer originally, and I stayed with him in Manhattan. I became an American citizen early in my career, and my son was born in New York, Raymond Quinn, and he played for Louth football senior team. He's a Division 3 medal with Louth senior team. He also played with Dundalk soccer team under Jimmy Riley and Barry Keogh, and he played international soccer with them.
Very good, very good job. And did you meet your late wife Rose while you were in America?
Yeah, actually I was hurling for Offaly. I was vice captain of the Offaly junior team in Gaelic Park, and I happened to be with a great footballer for Offaly, Paddy Casey, Lord of Mercy. He's deceased now, and he had a few pubs in New York, and I used to get home. Well, he made me his vice captain. I met Christy Ring when I was out there, and I shook hands with him, and Christy was very interested in my hurling this discussion with him. I recall to him that I met Christy before I went to America in 1952, and I also in 1952 I won a minor football medal for Clara for the first time, and it was a historic medal, and I won it with Peter Nolan, who went on to be a great footballer along with Willie Nolan from Clara.
And Joe, I understand you met some famous people while you were in America.
Oh, I did. I worked in a bank on Park Avenue for 6 years. Not a big job, but a good job. I used to look after the storeroom, and I used to get the books bound and all that type of a thing. Because I had a great teacher in Clara, Mrs. Malai. She ended up in Chicago. But she used to teach me all about the trial balances, the books, how to do all kind of business stuff. So I did that in the bank. And I got on, Judy Garland used to come into the bank, and she'd always wave, maybe because I was Irish. And her husband was Sid Luff. So I knew her for about 6 years. A lot of the star. I met Bobby Kennedy. I became good friends of Bobby. I went on to be a delegate to the Democratic Convention in New York. And Bobby Kennedy was a good friend of mine. And he ended up in, unfortunately, he was assassinated.
Yeah. So you married Rose.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
And why did you decide to come back to Hackbutt's Cross?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll just tell you.
Your wife is from Hackbutt's Cross.
Yeah, my wife was originally from Sheila. She was Rose McMahon, Lord of Mercy in her soul. And I met her in New York. I met her at a dance in Gaelic Park the day I was hurling for Offaly. She was just over from Ireland. That was in 1957. And I gave her my seat at the dance. And I was just at the hurling that day, and she was standing there, and I think she didn't know any of the other girls because she was just in from America. She was with a good few of the people from around here. She went out with a good few of the ones she knew from Sheila. And that's how I met her.
So anyway, you got married. You came back to Hackbutt's Cross, 1969, was it?
Yes, we come back and opened a shop at Hackbutt's Cross, a grocery shop. There used to be a farmer had the shop originally, Barney MacDonald, Lord of Mercy. And there was land attached to it. We just got one small field attached to the house. And we had the business for over 30 years.
Over 30 years, at Barrenstown.
In Barrenstown,
where
yeah.
you live now.
Yeah.
Where you live now. And Joe, what was your first experience when you arrived in Hackbutt's Cross on the border?
Well, I was amazed because people were kind of afraid to go into the cross, and I had no hesitation about going in because I was just home from America. And I used to go down because you couldn't get the English papers here, so I could get the English papers below in my next door neighbour down the road. And when I go down there, the PSNI would be lining. Sometimes I go into Jerry McDonald's pub, Lord of Mercy, he's yeah. from Kerry, and I would be up at the bar, maybe having a glass of beer or something at that time. And all these young fellas would be there, and they'd be all put out by the PSNI, and I'd be put out with them. And then a lot of them ended up being put in being arrested. Yeah. And I was kind of luckily in one way, they didn't bother me too much.
But had you ever a funny incident in the pub?
Well, I had an instance where they put me outside and...
Who put you out?
The PSNI.
The RUC at the time?
Yeah, the RUC at the time. Yeah. And they put everybody out nearly, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a bit terrifying to me, you know, because I wasn't used to that type of a situation. It was an unusual situation.
And what did they do when they put you out?
They'd just line you up against the wall and search you and see if you were carrying any arms or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a bit scary, to tell you the truth.
The time. And when you arrived, was there much security presence on the border?
Oh, yes. The border would be at Ballybinneby, and in front of my house, there would be always... security on the road, and you were afraid for your business and everything else, and you're afraid for your children and all. It was a bit terrifying here for a long time, you know.
Yeah. And there was a lookout post near the border.
There was an outpost in Ballybinninby. There was definitely an outpost. They were up from Kerry. They were up from Kerry and everywhere on the post, and at different locations they were located. Yeah.
And was it hard for you to operate the business? I understand there was guarded checkpoints outside your house. Was that good for your business?
It wasn't great for the business. It was very discomforting to have the police all the time out in front of your house, because it was cutting down on the volume of people coming into your store, and it was very disheartening at times.
Yeah. Was there much petty smuggling going on at the time?
Well, there was a lot. There was a lot of this thing about the pounds of butter, and an awful lot of people were smuggling the butter at different parts of the border.
Yes.
And they come with a smuggle at night time.
The Irish customs take the...
They would take the butter off them if they caught them with the butter.
Would they?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. And they would take it off, or they would confiscate the butter.
So the nearest custom post was at Drumbella, Joe.
Yeah, there was a number of places where they could catch her.
Yes.
And they were there at Fork Hill, Ballybinneby, coming up from Sheila, that road. They were on them roads. They were on the main, anywhere they could catch people, they were there.
So strictly speaking, if you had a motor car, you were supposed to come through the approved route.
You couldn't come through certain roads. They were isolated from you. They were closed up. You couldn't come in certain roads.
Yeah.
They were actually blocked off.
And at some stages during the Troubles, some of the roads were crater. Did that cause inconvenience to locals?
It did. People couldn't go about their normal everyday life. They were in a different world. They were always afraid of the PSNI, that they'd run into them and be caught. Smuggling was number one. Be caught in case they were involved as young people, because they were young, they could be pulled in and questioned. And it was terrifying for the parents of the young people.
It must have been very difficult for farmers who would land on both sides of the border.
A lot of the farmers were unable to deal with their cattle, their sheep, and they were really losing money, to be honest about it. And it was a very trying time for farmers at that particular time.
Yeah.
They were hindered in their normal way of life. Their family was hindered in the way of travelling. And they were like second-class citizens, to tell the truth.
Right. So the Good Friday Agreement of 1998 was welcomed.
Mm.
Welcomed in the border area.
Mm.
It brought peace and prosperity.
Yeah,
violence ceased.
Yeah, there's an awful lot you could say about that. Bertie Ahern and your man from Roscommon, he's deceased now, the Taoiseach.
Albert.
Yeah, Albert Reynolds. I met Albert a few times. I actually gave him a lift from a grave. We were at a grave down in Clara, and Charlie Hawley was beside me at the grave, and someone says to me, "Would you give this fella a lift?" And it was my brother that actually said it, and it was Charlie. What do you call him?
McCreevy.
From Roscommon.
Oh no, Albert Reynolds.
Albert Reynolds.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the first I met Albert.
Oh yeah.
Now, as you know, Albert was very much involved in that piece, and Bertie Ahern, no matter what they say about Bertie, he was involved very, very, very much in that. In getting peace into the south.
That's right. I understand you're related to Brian Cowan.
Yeah, well, Brian's Cowan mother, May Cowan, her and I, about the same age, and I do see May nearly constantly.
Yeah.
Or Brian would be maybe my first cousin. As I said, not repeat myself, she's about the same age as me, and I see her regularly. Brian would be a second cousin. Barry Cowan, who is a TD now, he'd be my second cousin. And Christopher Cowan has a pub in Clara. He'd be my second cousin. Yeah.
So now, Joe, we take a break from music and a song. Mm. We played the song written by one of our most famous poets, Patrick Kavanagh, from Inniskeen.
Yes.
He wrote the Raglan Road, and it'll be sung by Luke Kelly.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still making tart, and I not making hay. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave the secret sign that's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and stone, and word and tint without stint. I gave her poems to say, with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields of May. On a quiet street where old ghosts meet, I see her walking now, away from me so hurriedly. My reason must allow that I had loved not as I should a creature made of clay, when the angel woos the clay he'd lose his wings at the dawn of day.
I was I went to college down in Newry, and I went to the University of Ulster. I have a degree there, honours degree, and I did my thesis. Actually, I was very lucky that I picked out Paddy Cavanagh, and I have my thesis is over in Inniskeen Centre now, and I get on very well. I visit it very regularly, and I did one presentation over there on Cavanagh, the late Paddy Cavanagh, and as you are going to say, Wranglin' Rose was one of his songs, wasn't it? And he was the one I did my thesis on, and if anyone wants to see that or read it, it's over in the Inniskeen Centre. He was a great poet, probably wasn't considered the same as Yeats or the other poets, but he was brilliant in his own way. He was very fond of the land. He came from the land, and he always spoke about the land. And that was his life. His brother, I was very lucky to meet his brother Peter, and I read Peter's book. He was an American, like myself. I'm an American citizen. And I was invited over to the home place in Inniskeen. And I might mention my neighbours, that just to live beside Cavanagh's was one of the Lennons. And as you might know, the Lennons are well known in the area for football.
Well, that's cool. And
old Terry, Lord of Mercy, would be living beside Cavanagh. And that's mentioned in one of his books. So it's a great connection there, you know.
So Rose died in 2011. That was a big...
Once you lose your partner,
big loss,
and your wife...
Big loss.
Like, we were over 50 years
married.
We were over 50 years married.
And did you celebrate that before
we
died?
We celebrated that with Raymond and...
Before she did,
Deborah and Jane, Raymond's wife, and their family. We all celebrated that, you know.
That was nice.
It was beautiful, was nice. Yeah.
Will Brexit bring any changes on the border?
Yes. If you look into the situation, this will make a big difference for us at the border. It will cause a lot of tension for people living both sides of the border, for the northern ones and for us, because if they decide to close off any of the borders, it's going to make it extremely difficult to do business both sides of the border. And it goes to cause tension between north and south. And if the police are brought in, it's going to cause more tension. And people's going to feel insecure. They're going to be feel that they cannot continue on bringing cattle across from north to the south, or bringing them from south to the north. It's going to cause tension between the farmers shipping stuff, trying to get the stuff on to going out foreign. It's going to cause delays for them. It's going to cause trouble for families trying to get their children to certain schools, where they will find that there's going to be delays in getting the children to schools, and it's going to cause havoc in certain sections along the border.
So we don't want to return to the bad old days.
No. We're in a situation where
nobody really knows what the present lady in England. We don't know her thoughts. Just she is changing her thinking a little bit too much,
yeah.
And it's causing a lot of people to wonder exactly what way she's going to deal with the situation. All she's considering and thinking about is the situation with England, how England is going to fare outside of Europe,
yeah.
And she is uncertain herself. So it's causing our Taoiseach and the government a lot of worry and anxiety. And I think with the situation between our Taoiseach and the trouble between our the people that's running when he goes out, I think it's going to cause a lot of anxiety here if there's an election.
Yeah. And we don't want... like, things are free and easy at the moment. You can cross to the border very easy. No checkpoints, no customs. You wouldn't like to see the customs coming back again.
No way would I like to see the customs. I live just a few miles from the border. And we'd be unsecure here. We'd be living in a kind of a cul-de-sac situation. We wouldn't know what way to turn. And if we want to go into the north, we might have to go through checkpoints, we might have to go through the police cordon us off.
Yeah.
It's going to cause a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, so we hope it won't come to that, really. Mm. So thank you,
okay?
Joe, for sharing your story with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad I was able to have the opportunity to express my views on the situation.
So I offer my deepest sympathy to his son Raymond and his daughter Deborah on the death of Joe and all his extended family. On the fifth part of this series on border living, we hear the story from Mona Daly, Carrickmacross. Mona was brought up in the border town of Carrickmacross. Her father was a businessman, and she recalls her memories of crossing the border with her father on business. Mona lives in Dundalk, and she talks about the realities of living in a border area like Dundalk. And during the Troubles, crossing through the various Army and Garda checkpoints and British Army checkpoints and the hassle that entailed.
This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.